Welcome to CounselorAudioSource.net. Counselor Audio Source is a weekly podcast dedicated to the professional enhancement of practicing counselors, supervisors, and counselor educators. Look for us on the web at CounselorAudioSource.net.
I'm Dr. Marty Gentius of Kent State University, and this week on Counselor Audio Source, Dr. Jacqueline A. Walsh of California University of Pennsylvania speaks with Dr. Tanya Tinsley, also of California University of Pennsylvania, about the emerging field of sports counseling.
Welcome. I'm Jacqueline Walsh of the Counselor Education Department at California University of Pennsylvania. Today I'm talking with Dr. Tanya Tinsley about the emerging field of sports counseling. Welcome, Tanya.
Hi, Jackie.
Dr. Tinsley is an assistant professor of counselor education at California University of Pennsylvania, and she has a special interest in sports counseling. Tanya has served as the regional coordinator for the National Football Foundation's Play It Smart program, and she's a co-founding member of the American Counseling Association's Sports Counseling Interest Network. Tanya, I'm wondering if you could tell us how you developed an interest in sports counseling.
Yes, as a former student athlete, starting in elementary school and playing in college, I really found that being involved in sports really helped me to focus on my academics, really helped me to develop my self-esteem, my self-concept. Being involved in athletics helped me to develop my identity and my social development with others and relationships with people. However, it wasn't until I was in college that I then had to deal with retirement from sports. And retirement from sports and this transition wasn't something that was planned, and I didn't know what it meant. And when someone posed a question to me, what are your plans when you finish playing basketball? I said, well, what do you mean? Am I going to be finished? And then that's when I really had to focus on my career identity and planning for life after sports. When I went to get my master's at the University of Iowa, I was in the higher ed program, College Student Development, and I really wanted to focus on the career development and retirement issues and transitions from sports, and found that there was research out there in the psychology profession, some counseling journals on retirement from sports, and that's where I really developed my interest and was hoping to maybe create this as an emergent discipline someday when I was back at Iowa in 1995.
Sounds as though you experienced quite a few benefits and challenges as a result of your involvement in sports, and now you would like to work with others to help them through those stages.
Yes, I would like to continue working with others, but at the same time, be able to develop a training program for those who want to provide the services, the counseling services to the athlete population.
Right. I'm wondering if you'd be able to give us some background about your work in the area of sports counseling after you received your master's degree.
Following my master's program at the University of Iowa, I stayed and worked in the Women's Athletic Student Services and worked with female athletes on career development, academic development. I also advised and counseled them on just relationships, transitions to a Division I school from high school, because that was a transition in itself, but then also working with the female athletes from retirement from sports and life after sports as well. I had an opportunity then to move to University of Pittsburgh and work in their academic support service for student athletes. This opportunity provided me the opportunity to work with male student athletes as well. So I had an opportunity to work with football players, men's and women's track, women's basketball, softball. And that's where I really started to begin to see that there was a unique cultural aspect to each team, and that each team had their specific traditions, their customs, their norms. And then I went to University of Maryland Eastern Shore, a historically black college and university, and I really found the same thing at working with the athletes there, that there was a unique cultural aspect to working with these students. So when I started my PhD at Duquesne University, my cognate area was cross-cultural athletic counseling.
Sounds as though you've had quite a bit of experience in the area of sports counseling. I'm wondering if you could tell us what sports counseling is.
Yes. In 1985, The Association for Counselor Educators and Supervisors had a project titled Counselors of Tomorrow, and they define sports counseling as the process which attempts to assist individuals in maximizing their personal, academic, and athletic potential. Sports counseling is accomplished through a proactive, growth-oriented approach that incorporates the principles of counseling, career development, movement science, psychology, and human development. So it's really a holistic approach in dealing with the developmental needs of the athlete population.
Right. So kind of across the board, across all areas of a person's life.
Yes.
Okay. Who does sports counseling apply to? Does it just apply to the elite athletes, the school athletes, pro athletes, or does it include working with recreational athletes?
I believe it applies. You can take the lifespan development approach, and sports counseling applies to youth, adolescents, young adults, adults, those who may play recreational sports, as well as competitive sports.
Okay. Could you tell us about the history of how sports counseling has developed?
Yes, sports counseling has been the focus of a number of authors and researchers stemming from 1967. When I was working on my dissertation, I found a journal article and a dissertation where it was really talking about the importance of counseling the athlete population with career development and academics. And as I mentioned before, it wasn't until 1985 that competencies for athletic counseling were first outlined.
You mentioned about sports counseling, the development of the history of sports counseling. One of the things that we've so often heard about is sports psychology, and I'm wondering if you could tell us what's the difference between sports counseling and sports psychology.
Sports counseling is really looking at the developmental needs of the athlete population, identity formation, identity development, career planning, interpersonal relationships, transitions from sports. Whereas sports psychology is really focused on the athletic performance enhancement in the sport.
Okay, so rather than performance enhancement, the counselor, the sports counselor, is focused on helping a person across all stages of development and all aspects of their life.
Yes, and it's really helping the athletes then transfer the skills that they have developed from participating in their sports in those other domains.
Okay, so transferring those skills from sport to the rest of their life.
Yes.
Okay. Could you tell us about the potential benefits of participating in sports? For example, does participating in sports help build someone's character in a positive way?
Yes. Benefits of sports include leadership development, cooperation, teamwork, self-discipline, coping skills in success and adversity, competitiveness, sportsmanship, positive self-esteem, self-concept, self-confidence. And you ask the question, does sports participation promote positive development or build character? And the answer would be, it depends. And the reason it depends is that we need to be able to assist the athletes to transfer the skills to the other domains. And that can be a challenge. And it could be a challenge maybe because of top-down coaching style. It could be a challenge because the activities are not fun anymore and lack challenge, or too much emphasis on social comparison, parental over or under involvement. Some athletes have this sense of entitlement. So when they have this sense of entitlement, then we have a challenge to that positive youth development or positive development through sports. And then the other area that might cause some challenges is identity foreclosure. If the person is only seeing themselves as the role of athlete and not really understanding the other roles that they play in their lives.
Right. Well, what could some of the benefits of participating in sports be?
Again, benefits could be that teamwork, that cooperation, that social development, confidence, that self-esteem, being able to relate to others. And, you know, I use the example, I was listening to the CEO of Citigroup talking about the type of people he wants to work in his organization. And he really talked about the athlete population because of the skills that they develop that could be transferred to the business world, to the work world.
Okay. While there are some potential benefits, I would assume that there would also be some risks of participating in sports. I wonder if you could tell us about what the potential risks might be.
Right. And risk, you know, we've had recent suicides of athletes suggest that there are adults and youth that are struggling to cope with some of the challenges of participating in sports, time management, the expectations of maybe being in an elite sport. The transition from high school to college or the transition from college to professional, abuse, physical abuse, mental abuse, divorce are common among professional players when they're consumed with games and not relationships. Individuals dealing with their sexual orientation, maybe drug use, substance abuse, chronic low self-esteem. So there are some mental health issues in that area. And then finally, eating disorders. Injuries from athletics. It could be a short-term injury or it could be a career-ending injury. So then based on injuries, there could be increased substance abuse, drug use, depression.
Right. Sounds like there's quite a few issues that one should be aware of when working with athletes.
Yes, and all counselors, whether they're community counselors, mental health counselors, or school counselors, should really be aware of the benefits and risks of participation in sport and really understanding the developmental needs of the athlete population.
Right. Since you mentioned community counselors, mental health counselors, et cetera, I'm wondering if there's anything in particular that you think that the general counselor should need to know about clinical issues, developmental issues, or kind of life skills issues when dealing with athletes.
What's really important is if we look at identity and we look at Erickson's identity development and Marsha's identity development, that identity foreclosure and retirement from sports and transitions from sports and injuries really increase some of those challenges and those presenting problems that community counselors may face or mental health counselors may face because this person has not really looked at other domains in their lives and really understanding life outside of sports. In the class that I was just teaching, I was working with a couple community counselors who have adults that their presenting issue has to do with career development. And these are former athletes who are retiring from sports. So, you know, that's really going to be a key area as well is that career development.
Right. And you mentioned if somebody's identity is of themselves as only an athlete, if they foreclose their identity and don't see beyond that, then they can get kind of stuck there.
Yes.
So it's helpful to, as counselors, to keep sport in the larger context of a person's whole life.
Yes.
What about school counselors? What would school counselors particularly need to know about sports counseling?
Well, I would say school counselors and all counselors in general, and I'm going to kind of incorporate the multicultural competencies. I really used the athlete population as a unique and diverse group and really found that the athlete population does experience prejudice and discrimination. The subgroups that are within the athlete populations, women, when you have gay, lesbian, bisexual athletes, when we talk about athletes of different ethnicities or religions. So there are issues related to prejudice and discrimination. So all counselors should extend the multicultural counseling competencies to the athlete population and be aware of their attitudes and biases towards the athlete group. Become knowledgeable about the developmental needs of the athlete population. Become knowledgeable regarding the benefits, regarding the risks of participation, and really become knowledgeable of the meaning of sports to that individual. Once you have this awareness and this knowledge, then you can develop culturally appropriate skills and interventions related to the athlete population, whether it's individual counseling sessions or group counseling sessions while building a relationship with that person.
I'm curious about like ethical concerns in the school. Are there any standards that apply specifically to sports or that you're particularly concerned that school counselors know about?
Yes. For school counselors, the ethical standards of the American School Counselors Association state that professional school counselors are responsible for providing a comprehensive program that advocates for and affirms all students from diverse populations, regardless of their special needs. And then that would also include the fact that the No Child Left Behind. We don't want to leave anyone behind, including the athlete population, and really including them at the table and providing services to help them to grow and develop as well.
Right. Do you have any suggestions as to how a school counselor might help an athlete to thrive athletically while keeping their academics and their social development in mind as well?
Yes, and that's from my experience of working with the Play It Smart program, which was a school-based mentoring program. And we can take what we've learned regarding positive youth development and providing a context, providing an opportunity for students to learn about themselves from their sport and learn about the skills that they're developing and how that can transfer in a math class or how that can transfer in an English class, how that can transfer for preparing for the SAT or ACT, so utilizing those same skills. We can also take what we've learned from sport and applying it to relationships and building relationships with your peers, building relationships with adults, building relationships with teachers. School counselors also could then take the experience of sport and helping the student to prepare for life after high school. Not all student athletes will play college sports. So student athletes in high school, especially seniors, are going to be dealing with retirement from sports. So really helping them to clarify their career goals, really clarifying if they are going to go on to college, that there are other ways to get to college and not only through athletics.
Right. You mentioned several times throughout this interview about the importance of transitioning from viewing yourself as an athlete to viewing yourself in the context of your whole life. And you also mentioned that not all high school athletes will become college athletes. I'm assuming that not all college athletes also become pro athletes.
Yes.
Do you have any statistics that you might be able to share with us about the numbers of students that actually transition from college, from high school to college and college to the pros?
Yes, and my recent statistics that I used in my dissertation, over 7 million high school students athletes participate in the United States in sports. Of that 7 million, 36% will play in college. The percentage of NCAA to professional is 20.8. And that may seem high, 20.8, but we're talking about revenue producing sports and Olympic sports as well.
Okay. So the percentage of going from college to pros would be in smaller schools or in non-revenue producing sports would be much lower then.
Yes, and with, you know, the advancement and of women's sports and women's professional sports, and we talk about women's golf, you know, that's transferring and transitioning to professional golf, basketball, softball, bowling, because there are college bowling teams.
Yes.
We have NASCAR where women are driving. So, you know, we have the full realm of sports for women and men.
Right. So I think that speaks to the importance of the transitioning process.
Yes.
From sport to either professional sport or to life beyond sports.
Yes.
Or and life after sports.
Yes. And I would add one more theory when it comes to transitioning. We talk about Schlossberg's transitions and the importance of social support. And that's where counselors can come in and provide that support and be help with that relationship as the athletes are transitioning, whether it's from high school to college or to professional.
Right. A few minutes ago, you mentioned multicultural issues in the context of school counseling. I'm wondering what multicultural issues counselors need to be aware of in order to be effective at counseling athletes.
Yes. It's important to be aware of the subgroups that include women, ethnic minorities, those athletes who differ in their goals and objectives for engaging in sports. That's why it's really important to understand why is someone participating in sports and what is the meaning of sports behind that. Some women and minorities face racism, sexism in their sports, and professional, collegiate, interscholastic, and leisure athletes, recreational athletes, all different in their developmental needs. So it's really important to understand the levels that they may participate in.
Right. Where do you see sports counseling going? What are your hopes for the future of sports counseling?
Well, one, American Counseling Association really supports sports counseling. We have the Sports Counseling Interest Network. Currently, there are 8 interest networks, and as of March 2007, the Sports Counseling Interest Network was the largest. So I'm hoping that the American Counseling Association will continue to support sports counseling. Also, I would also say that research is going to increase in this field, especially in the counseling profession. Many of the research articles that are published are in psychology journals, and I believe we're going to start having more published in counseling journals. Crisis intervention in sports, the whole multicultural competencies as it relates to the athlete population, the developmental aspects and career development. And then also counselor education programs will be developing specialties. And right now there are other programs that have specialties. Springfield College has a master's in science and athletic counseling. Kansas State, in conjunction with NACADA, they have a program. And I am happy to announce that California University of Pennsylvania will be offering a sports counseling certificate beginning next summer that will be completely online. So counselors would be able to take 9 credits, post-masters, in the sports counseling field.
Right. And so if a counselor wants to pursue additional education in this area, there are opportunities out there.
Yes, many, definitely. And if anyone has questions, they can contact me, tinsley@cup.edu. We have courses here at California University that will be very attractive.
Right. Well, thank you very much, Tanya. It's been good.
Thank you, Jackie.
Take care.
You just heard an interview of Dr. Tanya Tinsley of California University of Pennsylvania about sports counseling.
Look for previous podcasts, show notes, and listener feedback on the podcast website at counselaraudiosource.net. Listeners can leave comments or questions for our interview guests or hosts through our Skype.com internet telephone ID, Counselor Audio Source, or by calling 330-871-4242. Counseling techniques and interventions discussed in the Counselor Audio Source broadcast are meant for use by counseling professionals, and Counselor Audio Source is not held liable for any use of the techniques mentioned in the program. Our music bed today is Memorial Day from Jamie Beauchamp. His and other PodSafe music can be found in the PodSafe Music Network at podshow.com. Counselor Audio Source is licensed under the Creative Commons, a nonprofit organization offering a flexible copyright for creative work.